morning. The reading today is taken from Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to 23, and is headed Freedom from Human Rules. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jill, very much for your multitasking efforts today. Shall we just pray? Father, we do thank you for the enormity of your love for us, and we thank you for feeding us spiritually in bread and wine. And we rejoice in Jesus and in his word, and we pray, Holy Spirit, you would do a deep work in us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, Jesus Christ came to this world to set people free, to set us free from many, many things, free us from selfishness, hopelessness, sickness, satanic oppression, free us from materialism, addiction, anxiety, free us from the thought of sin, death and judgment. And the list, of course, is seemingly endless. And with that, the freedom to be the children of God, he destined us to be from the very beginning of time. And so my question to you this morning is, are you free? Now you might say, well, yeah, I mean, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I'm born again and I've experienced the Holy Spirit and I'm doing this, I'm doing that in the church. But are you free? This brings us now to our Bible reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. A letter to people who started out really well in the Christian life, but now who were in great danger of losing their freedom. Why do I say that? What was going on in this church at Colossae? Well, sadly, false teachers have begun to influence the church and sway the members and take them into their way of thinking. And if you were to meet these teachers today, they'll probably tell you something like this. Well, we know you believe in Jesus, but it's not enough to get you to heaven. You must keep all the Old Testament rules and regulations and all the traditions. You need to observe all the festivals and ceremonies. But you know, even then you won't be accepted by God. You need to undergo some special hardship to prove how spiritual you are. And you need someone to be a mediator between you and God and speak up for you. So what you should do is to worship the angels and to ask them to mediate for you. That's what we do. And we've had special revelations from God. And just see how humble we are. Anyone who listens to that kind of talk will find themselves being led away from Jesus Christ and led into a life of slavery, the hopeless slavery of working hard to earn salvation. Not only that, but also being led into idolatry, which is seen there in the worship of angels. Jesus said, the truth will set us free. What is the truth that they and us and many others need to hear? Firstly, the truth is we no longer have to keep Old Testament ceremonial laws. You see, in the Old Testament, there were two types of law. There was the moral law, such as, for example, the Ten Commandments, and the ceremonial law with all its rules and regulations, and actually the Passover comes to mind. And all of that stuff was a temporary sign to Jesus, a shadow of what was to come, as Paul puts it. And secondly, the truth is that salvation is a gift to be received by faith alone. Jesus once said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." And no mass of rules and regulations and all that stuff in between. There's nothing that we need to do to add to our faith in Jesus Christ, and there's nothing that we can do to make God love us more. Thirdly, the truth is that Jesus alone is our mediator, and so we need no one else. Angels are not our mediators. They are our servants, great and mighty and powerful though they are. So we don't worship them or ask them to pray for us. You know, three times in the letter to the Hebrews, we're told that Jesus is our mediator. He is our great high priest who lives forever to intercede for us and to represent us before our Father in heaven. And can I say, which might be controversial in some quarters, what goes for the angels too goes for the Virgin Mary. Great woman of God though she was, we're not told in Scripture to ask her to pray for us or be our representative. Jesus alone is the one we need. And can I say that Jesus is enough? You agree? Turn to your neighbour and say, Jesus is enough. Can you do that this morning? You haven't got to try and convert them, by the way, but just thought I'd throw that in. So, where do we go from here? What else might we need to be freed from today? I want to touch briefly on several things that we could possibly need to be freed from in our lives today. And so firstly, can I ask you, if I may, are you free or bound by your past? You see, all of us have a history. All of us are the product of our past experiences in life. Parents, siblings, teachers, partners, ministers have all helped us to make us what we are. All of us have been shaped by the influences of other people, for good or for bad. All of us have to come to terms with the consequences of what we've been through on life's journey. And some people are seemingly changed forever by what's happened to them. They are bound, if you like, in the past, by the past, and just can't move forward. Let me give you an extreme example. Some years back, I took the funeral of a man who was a soldier out in the Far East in World War II. He was taken prisoner by the Japanese, and like so many others, he was most horribly treated. When he came home, he seemed to recover physically, although the mental and the emotional scars remained. He insisted that he be given rice to eat because that was what kept him alive in the prison camp. But he couldn't live a normal life. He never went out of the house. And if a stranger came to the front door, he went into hiding because he couldn't cope with it. And that's how he remained. Some 50 years later, he died of natural causes, having never found peace of mind. Yes, that's an extreme example, but many today have known pain of a different sort. That's the pain maybe of a relationship breakdown, maybe within a marriage or within the family with a sibling, the pain of rejection, the pain of either physical or mental abuse or both. And if you haven't been through that yourself, perhaps you know somebody who has and maybe wants to pass on a bit of this message this morning. These experiences can be like wounds in the flesh, and left untreated, they can become infected. Hatred, anger, resentment, and bitterness. All these things can produce a kind of spiritual poison affecting others as well as ourselves. Especially, can I say, bitterness. It has all sorts of far-reaching consequences. In the letter to the Hebrews, we read this: look after each other so that not one of you will fail to find God's best blessings. Watch out, that no bitterness takes root among you. For as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. And that's from the New Living Translation. Now, I'm not going to say that there's an easy answer to deep wounds. It can take time, sometimes a long time, to recover and then to be set free from the past. But then how does the process begin? What is the truth that sets us free? Well, we come back to Jesus and his word. And he said, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Isn't that encouraging? It's challenging, but it's comforting, and it's freeing. Oh God, give us the grace to receive these words of Jesus. Forgiving others is sometimes very difficult indeed, and we need God's help to do it. But it begins with a simple decision on our part, and Jesus, of course, is our role model. St. Paul wrote, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And we celebrated that a few minutes ago, that wonderful stream of grace that flows from the cross at Calvary. And it's ours as we prepared to forgive others and maybe also forgive ourselves. It's only as we begin to forgive that we are set free, and so no longer bound by the past. So can I, if I may, ask you another question? Are you free or trapped in a world of anxiety? You know, there's many anxious people in this world for all sorts of reasons. The world has changed, and not for the good either. It's become a much more fearful planet. The pandemic has caused the utmost misery, taking many lives. It's fragmented church life and almost wrecked the National Health Service. And we're still not out of it. The war in Ukraine, the first European war for a generation, has caused much suffering too, and disrupted food and energy supplies, not to mention threaten international security and the very peace of the world. And now we have an economic crisis as the cost of living soars, and it could soon be much worse. And we're not even sure who's going to be leading us until September. If that wasn't enough, there's all the stuff going on in our own lives and our families too. Health issues, financial issues, relationship issues can all place us under stress. And you know, I'm no exception. A short while ago, I had to have a series of tests which could quite possibly have shown that I had cancer. Had that been the case, and had it begun to spread, it could have been fatal. But praise God, I'm okay, and I'm grateful to those in the know who have prayed for me. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm less prone to anxiety than anyone else. But when all this happened, I thought to myself, well, you know, Keith, there's some things you can change in life and there's some things that you can't. There's some things that are down to us, like looking after our bodies, and there's some things that are up to God. So I'm going to put this issue on the shelf and leave it with God until I get the results. And that's how I coped. I thought, it's over to you, Lord, for now. Because I'm looking at Jesus and trusting him. And just got on with life. The truth is that we're created by God and meant to live in unbroken fellowship with him. But it all went wrong, didn't it, in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. And that's where fellowship was replaced by fear. Anxiety has played a big part in people's lives ever since, until, of course, Jesus came along. The truth is we're not designed or equipped to live with constant fear and anxiety. Our minds, our bodies and emotions are not able to cope with endless stress. Something gives. Now, some fear, like the fear of fire, for example, is natural, but much else is harmful, although avoidable. Why do I say that? Well, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he shows us a better way to live. Do you know the story of the time that Jesus and his disciples were at sea in a storm? The disciples were terrified and thought they were all going to drown. But where was Jesus? It's like saying, well, where is God, you know? Well, he was asleep on a cushion in the stern. He was just lying there, unaffected by the obvious danger and completely at peace. He slept through the storm. You might wish that you could sleep through like that. I think I sometimes do, especially on hot nights. But then Jesus was secure in his identity and his relationship with his Heavenly Father. Nothing fazed him, as they say. And he soon calmed the storm. And that's how it should be. If we can't actually calm the storm, we can be at peace with it. You know, Jesus understands our anxieties. He says to us many things, like, for example, John chapter 16. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. That's the truth. But take heart. I have overcome the world. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The world can be quite stingy, but Jesus isn't. And when it comes to anxiety about our health and material needs, well, here's the truth that sets us free. Because Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? And look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And he goes on, so do not worry, saying, well, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. What's tomorrow got in store? Another appointment with the doctor? Pile of work on your desk? Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And isn't that something that we need to pray into our hearts and pray for in each other? Because we can live differently to the way in which this world lives, and especially in these very sad and evil times. Finally, can I ask, if you're not bound by the past or trapped in your situation, are you free or in some way restrained from speaking out? You see, some people are natural extroverts and some are more reserved and shy. Some people find it easy to speak their mind and some people don't. Some people can get their point across and some are frightened to say anything. Some people have loose tongues and some, by contrast, are tongue-tied. Some people talk about their faith quite naturally and some people really struggle. We're all very different and a lot depends upon our background and our early experiences. When I first went to school as a small boy, I was very unhappy for various reasons that I won't mention now. In fact, in my first 2 years of school, I never spoke to anyone, and a teacher put on my report, almost prophetic, "Keith lives in a world of his own." If you know me really well, you're saying how true. Anyway, but time went by, and at the age of 19, I managed to preach my first sermon, and the photographic evidence is me actually in Wennington Church with a mop of curly hair and robes, doing what I thought I should be doing, but struggling. It's been quite a journey since then. I served on a PCC for 40 years, which sounds like a life sentence, but anyway, seemed a good idea at the time. In the first 10 years, I hardly said anything, and in the last 10 years, I actually chaired the meetings. I guess that was some kind of progress. Now, sometimes you can't shut me up. You might even wish this would come to an end, but it will in a few moments. Now, if you are in the "I don't find it easy to speak" camp, then you're in very good company. Here's a few examples. Moses was called to be a leader, but despite God's assurance he would help him to speak, he insisted he'd never been eloquent and was slow of speech and tongue. And at the end, God let Moses have his way, and his brother Aaron became the main spokesman to the people of Israel. Jeremiah was told by God that he was chosen before his birth to speak to nations. When he insisted that he was too young for the job, God reached out, touched his mouth, and put his words in them. And again, St. Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth. "I came to you in weakness and great fear and trembling." Fear and trembling, the great apostle. Are you in fear and trembling? "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." Can you see how God wants to speak through people who find it hard to speak? Can you see the difference the Holy Spirit makes? This is the word that sets us free. It's this promise from Jesus. And we can claim this for ourselves and pray over the church. He says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And also Jesus himself said that when the going's tough and we're opposed, we're not to worry about what to say, because the Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak as and when we need them. So in conclusion, can I ask you again, are you free or bound by the past? Free or trapped in a world of anxiety? Free or restrained from speaking out. Jesus can and will set us free through the power of his word and by the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah.